have been demoed. And these boys cleared all that out. They painted the bottom part of that house. They prepared all the rooms and made all the beds and do all the laundry and cleaned up the house. They painted the van that they bought used as a ministry. The boys learned how to paint and do the covering of the floor in the van. They spent a week doing that. They've done all this landscaping around there. I mean, they've done major, major work in this home. And as Ugo told me, the boys know this is their home and they want to help prepare it for more kids. And they have fun doing it. And they have such ownership of this home. It was very inspiring. There was a very humble, sweet spirit about this place. And I can rave about things we've experienced in Pucallpa and Lima as well. But there's just something special that was very unique about these kids in the mountains. Something so simple, so focused, so content. It's a very remote place. It's a very special place. It's hard to explain, but now that we've experienced it, we can see it. And our interns saw the same thing. It was just so I got to be there and watch the family slideshow and enjoy that with them and hear their stories, and it was a real privilege. And then we took a hike up the mountain the one day and went by Julio Cesar and Dina's house. And these are the children who arrived with all sorts of scars on their head from the abuse that they had received from an alcoholic father who has since passed away. And we got to go into their house where they had lived. And what's interesting here, the part they lived in was just like a one room in the bottom part here. This whole other part was where they were raising guinea pigs. Because they eat guinea pigs. It's like chicken there in the mountains. So a lot of families will raise guinea pigs to help try and sustain themselves. Unfortunately, not too long ago, so their grandmother has been there some, their mom on and off. It's not a place where the children can live, but most of the guinea pigs were stolen not that long ago. So that was an unfortunate thing. But this is a very common thing in the jungle as well, where you will have an entire family in one room and resorting to one bed. And so, yeah, a lot of inappropriate things happen in a very on a normal basis in those types of settings.
So this is Fabiano. One of our teachers, Carvina, was out in the community visiting different homes of the kids in our programs, and there was someone that wasn't home, so she went across the street to kind of a family area, like a bunch of families that kind of living together, and was visiting one of the relatives and came across this baby. And when she came across him, he was 3 weeks old and just about starving because his mom was 15, has epilepsy, so she's on medication. So the hospital said, oh, you can't nurse because of the medication you're on. Gave him a small can of formula, which is very expensive. It's as expensive as it is here. And then you take into account the income level is way below here. Like, they can't afford it. So I don't know what they were going to do when they were down to their last scoop. He was all skin and bones. And Karina came back and said, what are we going to do? You know, can we get some formula? And I'm like, oh, certainly. Mark ran out to town. A can of formula, and there he is. He's a little chunker now because we keep supplying him with formula. So now he is about 7 or 8 months old, and his mom and him come to our young moms group that we have in our home, and one of the other missionaries, Emma, started, and he's just great. He's a cute little guy, and when we left in August, then I told Nicole, you know, we're going to the States for several months, but I will be back. You know, don't worry about that. Take care, and I'll see you in January. And she said, Fabiano could be walking by then because he'll be about a year old. So I'm like, you're right. Oh my goodness. So, yeah, it's just a miracle that Karina came upon him the day she did, because he just didn't have much time left.
We
are grateful because Emma, the other missionary, wrote to us and said that Nicole and Fabiano came to the recent moms group meeting because there was some concern that she wouldn't come because her connection was so close to Kristen. So we're always glad when we see that these are the things we try and connect people within the ministry to other people, so it's not just a connection with us. But on that note, we've had to start building in more time when we go into town and come back because Kristen is constantly saying, oh, I need to stop by this person's house, or oh, we need to drop this off at so-and-so's house. We need to, you know, she left the house at night not long ago to take a blanket to a young mom who had house robbed, and it was a colder night, she had no blanket. And so it's been pretty special and to sit in the car and watch as Kristen just keeps visiting these moms in the community and in very practical ways, but relational ways. And she's gained a lot of favor just in being present and being attentive to them as a friend. So that's been very special to be a part of this family. And then we have our care center in Pocahontas. This is a new stage area for those of you who've been there that was built with our work team there and the service team that came down to help. So it's nice to have an area where we can do events there at the care center where we can carry out the programs with a little stage for all sorts of things that happen there. Here is a picture of that mom's group meeting around our table in our living room in Pocahontas.
Nicole is right here.
We have to childproof our home for that morning. The kids are running everywhere. And right, what they're studying right there is how to work on a personal budget. And you have moms who are maybe loosely connected with a guy in some way, but a lot of times we have to be careful because the guys will use them to get money for their alcohol. And so just going through something like a budgeting process can help them understand, do you really know where your money is going? And do you really know what your costs are? And just trying to empower them. It's a way of trying to empower them to be responsible and to provide for themselves and their children. This is a great picture of our very first house parents, Anthony and Leslie, and the first children in our Pocahontas home, Esperanza and Cristian. And this is their little girl, Anthony and Leslie's little girl, Romina. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. So it's just great to see laughter like that. Anthony and Leslie are still very involved in their lives. They had another baby and stepped away from their role as pioneering house parents. Let me just say, being house parents in these situations is about as difficult as anything I've ever encountered. And so to be there to encourage them was a privilege. And we're so grateful for how they persevered. They were persevering through a lot of those initial nights with Annalise. And Annalise, they are still mamita and papito to her. And so they're still very involved in her life and with the kids. They live there in Pocahontas. Actually, probably about now, they're now living in the new CPI center that Stephen built down there. They're renting space there while Stephen's not there. Carrying out programs, so that worked out well. Anthony works for the airline, so we always see him when we go in and out of Pocahontas, and then we try and see Leslie from time to time as well. This is Cielo, and just love this little girl and love her joy. And one time she actually sat me down, and when it might have been Christmas Eve, last Christmas Eve, I went over there and she wanted me to read the Bible to her. And she was taking me to the different passages to read. And I actually wrote about that. Some of you may remember reading that. Because the passages she took me to, I was just kind of overwhelmed with, wow, this is really special, what she's taking me to read. And so that blog that post is on our blog, if you want to look back on that. I think I called it a gift from heaven. It was a really special experience. Very joyful little girl. Her mom is one that has really tried to meddle and manipulate through spiritual manipulation and witchcraft and things like that. They were rescued out of a very abusive situation. But in tribal settings, abuse is normal. And it's not, pastors don't talk out against it because this is their norm and they've been a part of it. So one of the things when I taught in that Shipibo course with CPI, Cesar, who co-taught with me, our local pastor there, Cesar Soto, he and I spent a long time talking about abuse, talking about integrity, talking about online integrity as they're starting to get access to internet, talking to these pastors that you need to set standards and set examples and call out this darkness in your communities, that this has been, it's been accepted as normal and it's not normal. And it's a severe source of stumbling for their community life and for the children. So Cielo represents a lot for us. She's a precious gift. And really, her name means heaven. I see this as one of those places where heaven touches earth. Here's the boys' home. Luis and Dahlia, they're our newest house parents. They come from the mountains. And so they've raised their children. And now God's led them to go back and raise children in this setting. So they've been very, they called me pastor. Pastor. They're very delightful to be around. He's a musician, and he's connected well with the boys, and they've really connected well with him. So we're grateful to have them, and they're waiting. They're desperately waiting for more training on how to work with these kids and how to help them. This is a really cool story. This little guy over here is named Victor. And he goes to the school in Arequipa, where we went for language school. And when we went back there in March, our kids went to that school again for 2 weeks. But in between our language training 3 years ago, and, well, a couple years after that, that school sent a missions team to Pucallpa. So we had a Peruvian missions team come from a Christian school in southern Peru up to the jungle. And this boy and his family were a part of that trip. At the end of the trip, he was so moved by what he experienced that he wanted to give away his very favorite rain boots that he had bought especially for this trip. And so at the end of the trip, this little boy, Victor, comes up to us, and he can't even talk. He's just like crying and unable to communicate. His dad has him there under his arm, and his dad comes up to us and explains, Victor feels like he wants to give away these boots because there's children here that need them more than he does. And so that moved us, and we were so blessed by his sacrifice. And so we kept those. We kept them on our shelf in our living room for a while and talked about them with different groups and interns who came down, all the while looking for who would be a good little boy to receive this special gift. And we landed on Eduardo, one of the boys in our children's home, because they've got mud and rain, especially at certain times of the year. So Eduardo was thrilled to get these boots. And then when we went back to Arequipa, we were able to show Victor a picture and a little thank you from Eduardo for these boots. And so this is Victor after school one day in Arequipa showing his friends and telling his friends about this story of how he gave these boots away. And now this is the boy who has those boots. So that's a beautiful thing in the kingdom. There's an aerial view of our children's home. And there's the group with their van at the orchard. We have a partner of the ministry in Kids Live Peru made that gift possible. Yes, question.
Go back. Where is your house compared to that?
Okay.
Right over here.
1 kilometer over here.
So none of these are 10, so you drive a kilometer to the... 2 kilometers. Okay.
Actually, is it a kilometer or 2 kilometers?
It's 2 kilometers.
Two kilometers.
Sorry,
it's 2 kilometers.
1 mile, okay. So, yeah, it's like 20 minutes. Yeah, Arequipa team, who are not used to the heat and humidity, we had them walk from Tech to here, and they said that was the worst thing
talking
ever.
About. So that walk.
And Arequipa, they said, the trip was great, except that walk. They're just sweating. They just were not used to it.
So this is actually the border of the property, okay? And then it goes, it's several acres. It goes out here like a square. And the orchard is over on this part. And up in this part, John Hocking over there would be his ranch. And then over, as Kristen was saying, would be where Mission Tech is and the rest of the site is at.
Good question.
Yeah. Pocalpa is where?
Pocalpa's that way.
25 minutes
by vehicle.
Isn't it called the orchard where they told us something?
Yes, the orchard, because there is an actual orchard there. So whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And so this is Sebastian. When we welcome children, and when we see Sebastian grow with his speech and his hearing and these types of things, we're welcoming Jesus into our house. And it's such a peaceful provision to have someone like Sebastian as part of the house, as a member of the family.
He likes to come by and play with Shadow.
Yes, he does. Sebastian has a connection with us. Because his mom has worked for us, and his grandmother now works with us, so he's always stopping by the house. Sometimes we have to, Sebastian, you need to go out to class now. They need to know where you are.
This kind of shows up.
This is Marlon. He grew up in the children's home in Lima. He's now working as a missionary in Peru. You guys met Adrian. He came, Adrian with Mike over here. He was here with us that one time. We were here for the 100th anniversary event. Javier is another graduate of the Lima home, and this is his wife, Jessica. And Javier, recently, he works full-time in Lima at a shipyard and has a very good job, and he has it on his heart to continue to help Kids Live Peru and be an encouragement to these kids. He recently went and visited with his wife all the different sites in Kids Live Peru to encourage the kids, to encourage the sites, and to learn himself more about the ministry. And we had him in our home one night. It was really cool to sit there with one of these young Eduardos, Cristians, or Maxes who have now grown up and is married and working and looking to be a blessing with his life. And talking very honestly about the challenges they face since moving out of the home and what we need to be mindful of in helping the guys transition into independence. Because there's a, just like we go through things here in transitioning to independence, they don't graduate from the home and we say, okay, you're done, you finish that program. They're family. So it was really cool when there was this reunion of all these graduates from the home in Lima. This is a part of their extended family now. And so there's ongoing relationships with these kids as they grow. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. This is a generational story, because this little boy's name is Haciel, and his dad, Richard, is one of our new house dads at Pocalpa, and Richard grew up in the jungle in a children's home. And so he's now a house dad, and his son is someone that they've welcomed into their home when the doctors and nurses were so alarmed because he was born with Down syndrome. And Richard, it was just so beautiful to hear Richard tell the story, and he said, what's the problem? He's my son. Of course I love him. There's no problem. And so Haciel's actually, there is a school behind Sam Academy that works with children who have different struggles and different challenges, and Haciel's in that school. It's a beautiful school, a beautiful work. So we love Haciel, and we love the story of his family, and that his family's a part of our ministry. So in Deuteronomy we read, do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. From the very beginning, when God established his people coming out of the Exodus, they were to build their lives around the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. Their whole life was to be integrated. Their harvest, their bit. So the challenge, I think, that we have in the kingdom is to really seek God, that our lives are integrated around this. It's the challenge, but it's the gift. It's the joy that you know, as we've talked about here, and And as I continue to talk with churches and work with different churches, the vocational commissionings that we've been able to continue walking out here in the relationship and the honor of all the work of your hands. I mean, that verse I just read is about the work of your hands, the work of our hands. It matters for the kingdom. And it not only matters, I mean, it matters because it's integrated with caring for others, but it also matters because it's important to do beautiful and useful and helpful things in a community. So, work matters. And work is something that's going to last forever. And we get the opportunity to work, to integrate our work with kingdom work in so many different ways. And it includes what we're actually doing in our jobs and the ways that that connects with others. It's just an awesome thing. So when you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the grapes. Do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. This is why I command you to do this. It's our own identity to know that we were rescued. So we get to be a part of the rescue of others. So I started with our family picture at the beginning at Victoria Gracia. And now we have, our family has grown. And this is, by the way, the Thomas's little girl, Anna. In that picture, it's really special to see the family extending and to be family with people all over the world. To hear from the Shannons next week and know how our family's extending with them in Ethiopia and then further with them as they're going to be going and extending their family even further. This is Kristen with her Sunday school class. So most Sundays, when we're at Torre Fuerte, she's teaching that group of children in our Sunday school class there in Yarina. So whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And now here's the rest of that verse. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. We're actually welcoming the Father as we welcome the Son, as we welcome the children in his name. And so Jesus, when he's with them, says, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When we welcome Jesus, we're welcoming peace into our home. When we welcome these little ones, we're welcoming Jesus, we're welcoming the Father, we're welcoming peace into our homes. And when we welcome the Prince of Peace, he sends us to go with him in being a home that extends to other homes and to other children. Just want to close by going back. Do we have audio for this? Okay. Some of you saw this at the picnic very, very briefly as Kristen walked around, but now that we're in this setting, I'd like to play this. These are the boys of the orchard singing a song about peace. And they're singing about Jesus coming and giving us peace. And I just believe it's such an important message for us to understand the true nature of peace and what happens when we welcome Jesus and welcome a child in his name. They practiced this song for a couple weeks in order to share it with our family to send us off. This was our despedida. This was our farewell before we came on home assignment. And so they sang this for us to send us with this message. And so it's the peace that we want to leave with you as well. Thank you. Yeah, and actually, Monica, our director, was returning from Lima that afternoon, and so the distraction was, Tia Monica. The girls who were sitting in the circle with us, they were the ones talking about that being Tia Monica.
The mother took that little voice.
Yeah, Shadi started to turn away, and she kept them focused. So, we have a couple minutes here. Any questions that you might have?
When the older children's home student was talking to the kids, you had up there the name of the Juniper Hall.
Yeah.
But the children are from the orchard.
And they were in the orchard, but it was part of the ministry of the juniper tree okay. extending to...
So those
to,
little kids did not go to
no,
Lima. The
no.
Lima kids came to...
Right. So as our kids grow, we hope to take them to some of the other sites in Peru yeah. as well. And we're hoping to have the kids from On the Wireless come either to Lima or to Pucallpa as well. I mean, we'd like to contract them for life. That's essentially what you're asking. We really wouldn't hire one if they said we can just do a year, because you want to minimize the transitions as much as possible. The reality is, though, the one house mom, we thought we were going to have long term, and something happened that it just imploded and it couldn't work. And things happen. So you just don't know till you're in it how it's going to go for sure, as much as you work with references and all of that. So you're interviewing them and really helping them understand this is a major commitment. And most of them do understand this. Well, for instance, like Martin and Elise, they've raised that house of boys in Lima, and they're planning to stay there until they all graduate. So they're not taking more boys into the house. Once they graduate, Martin and Elise actually want to come to Pucallpa. So because we're an organization, we can help each other in different areas. So we may see them move on from Juniper Tree, maybe to the orchard, but they're going to see it through with those boys because they're boys. So that would be one ideal transition for house parents. Sometimes things, you know, people transition out earlier, but we do try and encourage them to understand this is like you're taking these children on as your own and all that means. And for that reason, Luis and Dahlia, they said no a couple times, and we accepted that, and they just couldn't get away from it. And then other things happened, and they finally, months later, came back and said, no, we think we are supposed to do this. And so it's a very soul-searching process to make that type of commitment. And one thing we're trying to do now, too, is try and bring them in for some type of testing period, maybe as relief house parents for a weekend or something like that, to try and see them around the kids. We're doing significant psychological evaluations with all our house parents before they arrive now. So we've really ramped up that process as a ministry, because you're bringing them into such an intense setting.
None of these children can be adopted?
Kids Alive does not do adoption, but the Peruvian government does to a degree. The things are always changing and rules are changing, and it's a very slow process. In theory, a couple of these kids maybe could be adopted once all their... In theory, in terms of the law, we would have the kids for 2 years and then they would either be returned to their family or adopted. In reality, neither of those things happen very often, and you usually end up having them their whole life. So if people do adopt within Peru, if Peruvians adopt Peruvians, they're reluctant to adopt children from the jungle or the mountains because of all the prejudice between the people groups. And so if you're from the jungle or the mountains, you're looked down upon, you're a second-class citizen, And so there would probably be more of an adoption coming out of Lima than the jungle or the mountains. But it could happen. And
so you're saying the government only gives these children for 2 years?
Well, in theory, the government's what's on the books and what's in reality, it's not just in this and Peru, it's like this across the board. In theory, there's a 2-year process where they fully investigate the child, their background. They look for a family member that the child can be placed with, or if they're completely ruled abandoned, then they're open for adoption. But there isn't that much adoption that actually happens and goes through, and then the reality is the kids are with us because there is nobody to take care of them. So it's very hard to actually find family that's going to take care of them. So, but in theory, yeah, some of these kids could end up being adopted or moved back with a family member. But we're preparing to care for them for the long haul. Shidu and Cielo are probably the two that could be returned to their community among the kids we have. But there was a lot of abuse, and it's going to depend on if right now the judge does not see that as a safe situation for the girls. So they want to stay with us. They want to stay with us. They want to have relationship with the people in their community. They love it when their mom visits, even though it's a very unsettling experience for them, but they want to stay with us. The kids want to, once they're with us, after that initial period of adjustment, they want to stay. It's a great life.
They're the two
for
little
them.
Ones with the hats on?
No, those are two from On the Wild. Shidu was the girl with the glasses, and Cielo was the one girl I was talking about that I had the Bible, the Bible study with.
Do you mostly focus on having the house parents be Peruvian? Or?
Yeah, the house parents throughout kids' lives have to be Peruvian. And that is actually, I mean, we believe that is a really good thing because we're raising the kids in a Peruvian culture to live in Peru. But also, it also is well received by the government that there aren't foreign, because there have been so many abuses that have happened involving foreigners. It just is a protection. Now, there's been lots of abuses that have happened with Peruvians as well. There's a lot of abuse that happens in children's home settings. And so we are very vigilant with our guidelines and our monitoring of house parents. I have a no-knock policy with other leadership team members that we can just enter homes at any given moment. Now, we don't go back into bedrooms or anything like that, but we can just enter. And one of the reasons we're there is to provide security for the house dad so that we can say, hey, no, we have entered this home on a regular basis and everything has always been appropriate with the house dad. And so we have all sorts of things we're implementing to try and protect from any type of abuse, even within our own staff. But that itself has been a very time-consuming, exhaustive process. And because also kids can make up stories as well. And so you're trying, but at the same time, you're protecting them because sometimes they're not making up stories. Good questions. Any other questions? All right. And then just from our standpoint, we are so grateful for all the support we receive from the Kids Church with Victoria's Fund. That is something we use to help these children on a regular basis, and all of you with Victoria's Fund. Also for this church, for your support of our family as missionaries. It makes it possible for us to be there and for you to be there through us. As we are preparing for our second term, as we shared yesterday, we are looking to raise some more second term startup funds. Kids Alive has our budget. They approve our budget. And as you know, Kids Alive has the highest financial accountability ratings that you can possibly have. And they've had these for 14 years now. And so it's a real joy to work with them and see the accountability that and the integrity that these funds are really used in kingdom honoring ways to serve the kids. So we had we didn't just pull this number for startup costs for the second term out of the air. We have a budget that we've submitted to them that as director of discipleship development, I'm going to need this to be able to now serve in these three cities, and we, you know, our budget is this, etc. So Our budget actually hasn't really changed. We just keep getting more accurate figures for all of it. But we do need to increase our monthly support about $500 a month, and we're looking to raise, during this home assignment, $15,000 for our startup costs for the next term. That sustains our family and our work, but as we've said, we also become the stewards of three or four requests a day sometimes to help other people in the community, and so we get to pass those on to all these people that Kristen's visiting on our way in and out of town every day.
Is your second term 3 years?
We've moved into a time now with Kids Live. The first term's 3 years, and then you move into an indefinite period of time. So we would now be indefinite. And so many people ask us, how long will we be there? We don't know. We're there until the Lord leads, and if and when the Lord leads in another direction. But we do know this. In the same way that our connection here has deepened and moving there, that we're now connected there, and so that connection is going to remain and deepen even if the Lord leads us to something else. So we believe this is a very long-lasting connection that we're all forming with these kids and the ministry that's happening there. If you're interested in connecting with child sponsorship as well, and just to explain, I think I've explained this, but we need multiple sponsors for each child to cover their costs. In our care centers, it's about two or three sponsors, depending on which care center, that we need per child. In our children's home, it's between 8 and 12 sponsors that we need per child to cover their costs for everything, because we're raising these kids. So in On the Wireless, I believe it's 8 sponsors per child. In Pucallpa and Lima, it's 12 sponsors per child in the children's home. So what sponsorship is, it is a beautiful program. And if you ever want to come visit your sponsor children, we have people do that all the time. Very special experience for people to come down, see the ministry, and also visit with their sponsor child. And the children know their sponsors, and they pray for them, and they love getting the letters and the communication from them. Okay. Oh, so we have sponsor packets back there, and also brochures with our family, and you can respond with the brochure. There's a tear-out portion on the back where if you want to connect with us, and many of you are, and we thank you for that, and thank you for continuing with us, and if any more want to connect with us in that way, you can do that back there. You want to pray?
Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve these kids, and that our whole family here is joining us in that and supporting us and encouraging us and just be with us in the time of worship as we give thanks to you for all that you have done in our lives and in the lives of people around us and what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Move up there quickly.